It's time to discuss the important topics happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we're back with Community Connection heading into our second hour. Our next guest is going to be featured at this weekend's upcoming Indianapolis Black Documentary Film Festival. The film festival highlights work that highlights the African-American condition. And our next guest is Barrett Strong. She is the co-director and producer of the documentary This Is Not Who We Are. Ms. Strong, welcome to Community Connection. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's an honor. Thank you so much, Tina.
So tell us about your documentary and what day is it going to be featured at the film festival this weekend?
It's on the last day of the film festival in the last block, which is the 28th, and it's an honor to have that slot because that's the closing day of the festival, so we're really happy about that.
So tell us about the title, because I have seen people just absolutely savagely go at each other on some of these 24-hour news stations when anyone utters the phrase, this is not who we are, because there are those who would say, this is exactly who we are. Why do we keep saying that? Why do we keep saying that? So I'm really curious about the title, and can you share with our listeners a little bit more about what your piece deals with?
Yeah, so the thing to know about the title is that there's a bracket around the not. It's an ironic title. So,
gotcha.
Is who we are is Boulder, Colorado. That's our topic, is the Black community of Boulder, Colorado, and the history of Boulder, Colorado, which is a very white, liberal city, university-based city.
Mm-hmm.
It's our myth of self. It's our idea of who we are. We're inclusive. We're welcoming. We're friendly.
Myth of self. I like that. Our myth of self. I like that.
Yeah. And then not who we are is like the film makes you face who we really actually have been and still are for a lot of members of our community who are having a hard time, you know, living here and feeling welcome. And the youth who say, well, when I get to be 18, I'm leaving, you know, especially the Black youth, but other youth too. So it's about, well, let's take a good long look at how our community was formed. It was formed in the late 19th century. How we treated, especially Black people, through this 150 years of history, where are we now and why aren't we more congruent with our values? What kind of community do we want to be and can we be?
Again, what time is your viewing on Sunday?
It's the last block of the last day.
Block of the last day. Okay. What was the first thing that made you say, you know what, I got to put pen to paper and I got to look deeper? What made you do that?
Well, I'm a longtime resident of Boulder. In fact, I went to college here in the 70s and 80s, and I started coming here when I was a kid, too, because of some local family connections. And I've been back since my family returned here for 25 years. And I'm a classic, I would say, complacent white person who, you know, at least formerly was that description, who lived here and thought this was a welcoming community. And then quite a few years ago, I started my own journey of self-education about institutional and structural racism in the country, what the history is. I thought I knew things, but I didn't know nearly enough. So I started educating myself, and I got into a lot of pain about what I learned, and a lot of shame about what I learned. And then I realized I have to grow out of shame and pain and do something productive for myself. And what can I do for the community? Because I've been a filmmaker for a long time, and I tend to make films about international topics and social issue topics, but I'd never made a film about Boulder before. It wasn't for the university, climate change, or nonprofits or whatever. And I just got really interested in learning about the history that most people here don't know. And I really mean most. We don't realize that this was an elitist community from its foundation, that it was planned as an elitist community. And, you know, there's racism endemic in the whole country. But we created our own form, and we didn't even have to redline here because we had, like, realtors and citizens who did it for us. And we had Ku Klux Klan activity. It was very active in the 20s and 30s in Colorado, but also in our county. And we had cross burnings in the hills near here. So these are things people don't know because we like to think we're better than that. And the film makes us all sit with that history, but also hear a lot of current voices of African-American community members, especially from our youth. But also there's a lot of hope in the film. There's a sense of, do we want to be different? And if so, how do we go about it? And there's a lot of encouragement to listen. And this brings us to the Indianapolis Black Documentary Film Festival's values and why we submitted, which is that urge to have have productive dialogue and community. And we wanted to do that here in Boulder to see what we could do to really, really get a lot of eyes on the film and a lot of discussions going. But our dream has also been to have communities across the country take an interest in the film and say, well, this speaks to us too. We may not know our history as well as we think we do. And even if we do know it, are we the community we believe ourselves to be? Are we really including and giving a sense of belonging to all of our members or not? Is policing fair? Is the education system teaching weird bias things? Or are kids getting called the N-word in classrooms, which is happening here in our county and our city? And, you know, what's going on here that maybe we don't really pay enough attention to?
What are the demographics of Boulder, Colorado?
Very white, although our largest group is, besides the white folk, is Latino. The black population by official census is 1.something%, although there's a lot of mixed race people here too. But it's still a very small community, and there's an unhappy joke around Boulder that some people think is funny, which is, black people, where are they? You know, they don't really exist. And that's a form of erasure that is painful. But it seems that the dominant culture here doesn't really mind that we're not very diverse. I mind. I've always minded. I grew up next to the Mexican border. I've always loved foreign languages and cultural exchange, international and domestic. And so it bothered me, actually, to live here. And my kids complained that there wasn't enough cultural diversity in this city. And both of them have left, actually. And so have a lot of African-American kids. And they leave for different reasons. But there's some overlap there. There's some alienation about an overly wealthy, overly white community. And what cultural richness can we have if that's our case?
I was looking at one of your flyers. It says, the happiest place in America is Boulder, Colorado, said no black person ever. So this film has been in a couple of festivals and been on several screens. How is it received for the most part?
Really well locally. We were expecting some pushback, and there probably is some quiet pushback in the community, just sort of, I'd call it white defensiveness, actually, but mainly very positively. We're now accepted to like 24 film festivals, including one recently in France. What's so interesting to me, and it's a dream come true, is that quite a number of the 24 festivals are black or African-American focused festivals. And the reason why that's so thrilling is that we didn't know when we were finishing the film whether the film would really speak to those festivals and those communities from afar in another city. Does it speak enough to what goes on in somebody else's community for them to go, I resonate with these stories, these voices. We also want to see this and have a conversation about it, which, of course, is the hope that somehow it furthers a local conversation in another place.
Yeah.
And that people go, well, actually, some of these experiences are very common in less diverse communities, more white dominant communities, and there are zillions of them around the country, obviously.
So you say the Latino population is larger than the African American population. Did you find that they felt divided or discriminated against, or was their experience a little different?
I think it's different, but we haven't done that work because starting out this film, we realized we couldn't do a good job if we covered more than one. And then Katrina Miller, my wonderful co-director, co-producer, and I, you know, we realized you can only do one topic well. And so we really focused on the African-American community, partly because it's so resilient and small, and it has managed to stay here nonstop for 150 years. Now, the Latino community, the old Hispano people, they've been here for centuries. They came up from New Mexico and Mexico. They certainly experienced discrimination, and they have a lot of economic struggle, but it's probably somewhat different. And whether they get treated the way I suspect, that they have a somewhat easier time among their youth than maybe our black youth do, unless they're newly arrived in the community and are Spanish speakers from another country. And so then there may be a lot of extra challenges there. But that's a story we actually would like to explore at some point, because we want to have those youth and that community feel like they're part of this conversation too. And so if we have the resources, we may do a shorter film on that community in our county.
Our guest is Barrett Strong. She is the co-director and producer of the documentary film, This Is Not Who We Are. It's going to be premiering at the Indianapolis Black Documentary Film Festival coming up this weekend. Final day, and I believe you said the final slot, did you not, Ms. Strong?
Yes.
Would you say that this has been impactful?
I would definitely say it's been impactful, yeah.
How long is it?
It's an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, because most docs aren't really too long.
Well, that's considered feature in our world. I mean, a lot of shorts are made these days, and they're certainly a lot easier to make. This one is a really difficult film to make because it has its historical thread, and then it has all these current voices, and how do you keep people from getting bogged down in the history? We have an amazing policing story where we had a university student named Fade Atkinson who was just picking up trash for his work-study job outside his dorm for his university, and he got racially profiled, and next thing you know, it's tasers out, and then it's guns out, and he lived to tell the tale, but he's our main character. And so he alone has caused a lot of community impact, and the story of what happened to him became international news because it was Boulder, and Boulder's famous. So he's a very wise, reflective person and spiritual person, and so in the film he talks about why he resisted the police at the potential cost of his life, because a lot of black men who are in that position get killed, and it was really scary. You watch the body cam footage. We already had started making the film before Zaid got profiled, but that kicked off a huge bunch of marches in the county because the population was just so upset by that, which was great that it kicked off such a lot of protests. Then George Floyd was murdered that summer, and then the whole nation changed. And what we found is we were already filming, we were already doing interviews, was that people's hearts broke open. They went from being a little, I would say, reticent, you know, a little cautious about what they had to say and a little cautious in their idea about solutions to our problems, to just speaking from a raw, open place of pain and being more candid about their own stories, how they've been treated here and how they live, and then also more dynamic in their thoughts about what we do next.
Yeah. Our guest again, Barrett Strong, co-director and producer of the documentary film, This Is Not Who We Are, not being in brackets, in red, and a hardcore look at the place where you were born and raised, Boulder, Colorado.
This is one thing to know about our film is low budget. We all three of the main filmmakers volunteered the whole way through. We spent our money on our cash costs to make a broadcast quality documentary. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some fabulous filmmaking.
Yeah. So what's the primary economic driver for Boulder, Colorado?
Oh, the university's here. The federal labs are here. We have a lot of climate science and other kind of science. The university's huge. We actually have more than one university in town. So University of Colorado and Naropa University. We have tourism because it's just gorgeous here. We have beautiful, what they call the green belt, which is protected land around the city. So there's all these hiking trails. It's very beloved by people who like outdoor stuff and nature. But there's a lot of money. And I'm not sure all the reasons why there's so much money in town, but the cost of housing is astronomical. That means that a whole lot of people who teach our kids and put out our fires don't live in Boulder because they can't afford it and there isn't enough housing.
So is that the city where the was Situation Comedy Mork and Mindy was set? And was that set in Boulder?
Yes, it was.
Okay. I know, off the wall, but
I watched that show back in the day.
Yeah, I just remember the open and the scenery. It was just always so beautiful. You completed your doc in, 2019? Is that correct?
No, we completed it just January.
Just this January. Okay.
Yeah. We started making it in 2019.
Okay, I got that backwards. You started making it in 19 and you just completed it in January. So how segregated, on a scale of 1 to 10, would you say Boulder is?
Well, anybody can live anywhere they can afford, so it's not segregated housing-wise in any overt way. I would say, though, that if you look at, say, the mobile home communities, they're predominantly probably Latino or people who just have fewer means. And so there's an economic kind of racism that in our county.
Fundamentally and at the core, economics is where so much of it starts. Yeah.
So there's that. And then, you know, now people can live wherever. But if you look back into our history, African-American college students were not allowed to live in the dorms at CU. They had to live in rooming houses in a specific neighborhood downtown back in the day. Mm. And the university wasn't really considered open until the 1970s. And that neighborhood, it's featured in the film, that neighborhood, the black neighborhood, was essentially bought out by the university when it wanted the land for apartment buildings and parking. Mm. And they just bought out the homeowners, and we went back to the neighborhood, because it's only a quadrant of 4 blocks by 2 blocks. And it was where people were pushed back in the 20s, you know, where black people were pushed by local forces. Mm-hmm. And there's just no black families there anymore. They're elsewhere, you know, there's places to live, but that particular neighborhood has been completely changed. Yeah.
Interesting that you said the real estate agents would do the redlining for the community without being asked. And I can certainly relate to that indeed, because several years ago, you know, it wasn't like they were saying, hey, you need to live here and live there. But it was implied in terms of the choices that were offered. So I totally get what you were saying with that. So how many film festivals has this been in since January?
Well, some of them are coming up, 24. So it started with the Boulder International Film Festival, where we won the People's Choice Award, which is like the audience favorite award. So that was really
that was good
thing for us.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. And then it's going on. And I have a real interest in having the film screened around the country, because I want to see how it works in other parts of the country.
Yeah, how it's received.
You know, it's been in Mississippi and Virginia, North Carolina. It's going to be in Michigan next month. Then at Morehouse College Human Rights Festival in Georgia, Detroit mm-hmm. Black Film Festival in September, Baltimore International Black Film Festival in October. So it's in progress.
Yeah, are you traveling with it every place you go?
Gosh, no, we don't have any money for that.
So you won't be here. You won't be here in Indy.
We'd be in Indianapolis this week if we had the money, since we're like a crowdfunded, grant-funded, volunteer, just by the seat of our pants, we made this film. And because we're all experienced at doing this, mm-hmm. and it was our love letter to our community. It's like, we want you to be a better community. We want you to be, you
okay.
know, what you say you are. And so it's community service. And that's why the Indianapolis Film Festival is so congruent as well. It's like the sense of, what are you doing to further cultural and social dialogue in a productive way? And it's a synergy between the festival and our film in that sense. So we are really grateful to Dr. Winston and the selection committee for feeling that. We're going to be doing a grassroots campaign where we have the film on offer to faith communities and nonprofits and education groups around the country, and urge them to hold their own screenings. We're going to make so that they can afford it. And we want to see if we can get traction. I particularly wish for white community members around the country to see it, because I feel like a lot of the work that's needed needs to be done by people like me. We need to change ourselves. We need to get in touch with our bias. We need to dismantle structural racism where we encounter it. We need to work on our local government. It's the fabric of culture that needs to change. I think when you see kids in our public schools here in Boulder who are being called the N-word by their peers, and you say, where did those peers learn to treat their peers like that? Then you know there's something really unhealthy and awful. And how do we get down to that level of transforming our children too, not just our aging selves? I want to see us do the work.
Indeed, indeed. Barrett Strong, co-director and producer of This Is Not Who We Are, premiering here in Indianapolis at the Indianapolis Black Documentary Film Festival on Sunday, last block, and it should be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be over there for you know, a couple of things, and so I'm going to take a look, see what we got. It sounds absolutely intriguing. It really does. It really does. And I congratulate you on the completion of it.
Thank you so much. And feedback, welcome. We have a website, thisisnotwhowearefilm.com.
Uh-huh.
A way to leave comments. So if anybody sees it and says, hey, I want to reach out, hey, I want to share it with some other group, my church or whoever, or you just have a critique of the film, we are always trying to learn. So please feel free to be in touch.
thisisnotwhowearefilm.com.
Yeah.
thisisnotwhowearefilm.com for some feedback. Love it. Love it. All right. Ms. Strong, thank you. And again, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Tina. We really appreciate it. All best wishes for the festival.
Okay. Thank you. And again, that was Barrett Strong. She is a filmmaker. And it's interesting that she called it a love letter to her hometown. I think that is fascinating. So I'm looking forward to seeing that soon.